Blueberry.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No ease. That's blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
No Gimmicks Needed Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Shane Sloan, be joined by my brother, Afton. How you doing today, Afton? It's been a while since we've had the opportunity to record one of these here podcasts.
Yeah, it feels, good to be back on the No Schedules Needed Podcast.
I guess so. Just we should call it, instead of No Gimmicks Needed, No Promises Made or something, because we can't promise when the next podcast is going to be out. It's been like 2 weeks now, I think, since we have got one of these out, but been busy, back to school, all that kind of shit, moving back into college and moving into a new apartment at the same time. Not fun times for me, certainly, but good getting the chance to get back on here and talk. There's been basically like no reason to look at the website ProWrestlingPodcast.com because there's pretty much been nothing on there. I mean, a couple people talking in some comments. Someone speculated that the podcast is done, Afton. They were singing our death, march or whatever, saying that the podcast is dead.
Really?
Yeah. Well, one person was. And they went. They were just an anonymous commenter, so. That is not the case. We are not dead. We are still very much alive and kicking. And we're going to talk about... we're not going to talk about the last 2 weeks, but we're going to talk about the last week from Raw all the way through SmackDown. Give our thoughts on that. Got a lot of emails to read. Got a little bit of news and all that good stuff. So we'll get right into it. And we're going to start with news. Not a whole lot of news. First, I want to start off with some sad news, though, unfortunately. Former wrestler, WWE Hall of Famer, Walter Killer Kowalski passed away at the age 81 just a couple days ago. I think it was on Friday. This is something we've been kind of following over the last few podcasts, talking about his declining health situation. He is, finally, I guess, he just, kind of, couldn't go on anymore. He gave his health gave out on him. That's very unfortunate. Killer Kowalski, of course, a wrestling legend. He trained a lot of big time professional wrestlers and stuff, including Triple H and among many others. So he's obviously a person that's very near and dear, I'm sure, to a lot of pro wrestlers. But unfortunately, like I said, he passed away at age 81. I just thought I'd mention that. Really, kind of two big pieces of news here, other than, stuff like John Cena being injured. But, I mean, of course, they've already talked about that on Raw, and we'll talk a little bit about it on Raw ourselves. Both sort of relating to two TNA kind of rumors. As we know, Gail Kim is no longer with TNA. It's something I don't think we had a chance to talk about. Some questions of whether or not that's legitimate or not. I mean, it appears to be legitimate, but the way that Vince Russo, he's just trying to pull these swerves, man. I mean, who knows if it is and who knows if it isn't, really. But all indications are that she is, in fact, gone from TNA, possibly to debut in the WWE again sometime soon, but that has not happened as of yet. Another big name whose contract is expiring at the towards the end of the year here is none other than Christian Cage. Christian has said that, basically never say never about a return to the WWE, said to be perhaps happy, you know, with his schedule and pay in TNA, though, you know, he has had problems, it's noted here in the past, with the TNA creative team. One of his good friends, Scott D'Amore, recently leaving TNA Wrestling. Also, the door is said to be very, very wide open for his return to the WWE. Let me ask you, Ashton, how big of a loss would it be for TNA if they did not re-sign Christian Cage?
You know, I think he might be their best wrestler, man, basically, dude. That has the entire package, so, you know, it's kind of like one of those deals, if they lose him, I mean, that could really start spelling the end for a company like that, man, to lose their best worker and stuff like that, other than like Kurt Angle.
Yeah, I think it would be a gigantic loss. He's just a phenomenal talent, man. I think a lot of people talk about Edge being one of the greatest wrestlers, you know, in the WWE and all this and that, and certainly he is. I think Christian is every bit the equal, perhaps, of Edge, or at least certainly very close. Both of them fantastic workers, fantastic on the mic. So, yeah, I think Christian, TNA losing Christian would be huge if he were to go back to the WWE. But speaking of keeping on the TNA and signing people or not signing people, a lot of speculation about Mick Foley possibly going to TNA Wrestling. Now, there was some initial reports saying that it was basically confirmed. Currently, you know, we're not exactly sure. And here's what the latest I have. This from ProWrestling.net. There was another sign of Mick Foley's departure for WWE. That seems pretty obvious that he is gone from the WWE, at least, because his bio has been removed from the WWE website, and it was available on the SmackDown page up until last week, but it has recently been pulled from the WWE.com. So that would definitely lead you to believe that he is gone from the SmackDown announced booth. But is he going to TNA? That's the real question. Well, apparently Mick Foley spoke to Matt Lauder of letstalkwrestling.com during a autograph session at the Cleveland Indians game this past Saturday, and Foley said, quote, "Well, I can't say that it is not true," Foley said. Not misquote him here. He said, quote, "Well, I can say that is not true," Foley said when asked if he had signed with TNA. But he goes on to say, "Though, I may try out a pay-per-view with them." Foley's contract with WWE expires today. So Foley, of course, this could be him saying, you know, just kind of like not wanting to admit that he's negotiating with another company while still under contract with the WWE. This could be legitimate that he has had no talks.
I think it's the first option, man.
Yeah, I think he's going to go to TNA. I really do. But I just think that, you know, he probably can't.
When it comes to TNA and Mick Foley, is it on, Shane?
It is definitely on, man. You know, more superstars just keep coming to TNA every day, man. Mick Foley.
And why would they?
Exactly, man. Why wouldn't they? So that's it for news. That's probably a lot more out there, but, you know, we got so many emails I want to get to, and we got all the other stuff to talk about. So that's the big stuff, at least from what I see. Let's talk about the emails. Let's jump into them here. And apparently, you know, what would really help if I actually, you know, have my email open. So... stall for time.
And why would?
And why would I? Why would yeah. I have it open? But alright, just a second to pull up. While I'm pulling this up here, I just want to say I got some like people sending me messages on Xbox Live. I think perhaps you know the JSN WWF wanting a shot at me at Madden. Well, just want to give you an update. My Xbox right now, I've been playing, when you see me online, it's actually been on my roommate's Xbox downstairs, We've been playing a Madden on his Xbox because mine, I haven't got it hooked up to our network yet because right now we gotta have our router and everything and a modem for the cable downstairs. My bedroom's upstairs with my Xbox, so I gotta get it figure out something here to get it hooked up because unfortunately Xbox not like the PlayStation 3 does not have the built-in wireless. And let me just get in a tangent here. The stupid wireless dongle that it's like a little USB plug-in that you put into your Xbox costs $100. That is ridiculously overpriced for just a little antenna that plugs into a USB. I mean, I don't know. It's just ridiculous, and I don't want to pay it. So we're either gonna have to move the modem somewhere else in the house or figure something else out, but hopefully I'll have that all lined out and I actually get a chance to play other people. But right now, basically all I don't even it's not I don't even have the game myself. It's actually my roommate's, and we're not even playing it on his Xbox actually because his Xbox is in the shop. We're actually playing it on someone else. It's kind of a big mess right here. We haven't got everything straightened out, but whenever we do, I will be glad to put a Smackdown on someone with my Denver Broncos in Madden 09. But got the emails here pulled up. Let's get right into them. This first one, when I read it, I was just like, man, I don't even know whether or not I should tell Ashton about this or not, because here's how the first email goes. Hi, Shane and Afton. It's from Ross Boswell. I'm assuming he's in the UK area because he says on the night of SummerSlam, which gets shown at 1 a.m. live here, about seven of us, us being my mates, stayed up. Or he could be in Australia. I'm not exactly sure, but he's definitely not here in the good old U.S. of A. Anyway, they stayed up watching. Stayed up to watch SummerSlam. While we were waiting, we played Guitar Hero, but we turned the volume down and on the PC and listened to No Gimmicks Needed, episodes number 94 and 95, and we all laughed at Afton's gimmick of being a mark. We seriously believe that he is the best thing in podcasting today. Keep up the good work. Your show is awesome. Ciao. That's from Ross Boswell. Like I said, thanks for the email, first off, and we definitely appreciate it, and we're glad you like the show. However, like I said, now all this is going to do, man, is just fuel you to once again just give your WWE mark comments, man. I mean, I just can't wait till we talk about like Raw, dude, and John Cena being injured. You're just like, man, I told you,
Dude,
dude. How
seriously, that
devastating
crushed
was that
me.
match, man?
Well, okay,
How
seriously.
devastating was that war
Look,
between the two of them?
when you get in there with an animal, man, what the hell do you expect? Somebody's gonna get hurt, man.
I know, dude. Next email. Thanks for the email there. Next email from Christopher Divine, Fine Divine. He says, "Hey guys, I haven't emailed you in a while, but I've been listening to the best wrestling po but I have been listening to the best wrestling podcast out there." Okay, I thought for a second he was talking about a different podcast, but he's talking about ours. So
Oh God!
thanks for that.
No, I was just go ahead.
No, I mean, yeah. So anyway, he hasn't been emailed yet, but he has been listening. He says, "Shane, I'm sorry to disagree with you, but how do you not like the Brian Kendrick? I love it. First, he is an amazing.
Seriously, dude, how can you not like that?
He is an amazing wrestler. No matter what the gimmick, he has the look, the outfit, the music, the dance, and Ezekiel Jackson. What's not to love? I think the guy has paid his dues, and I'm so happy WWE is giving him the push. Also, it's refreshing seeing a guy who has not strung out on roids getting a push. Take care and talk to you soon." Well,
Seriously.
I agree with a lot of that. You know, let me just say I don't hate Brian Kendrick. I mean, I like Brian Kendrick. I think he's got a good talent, and I'm starting to like him a little bit more. What I think it is, dude, I swear, just to focus in on what I don't like about him, it's the dance. That's what I don't like, man. The little dance he does when he comes out to the ring, and the jacket too. I'm not a big fan of the jacket, but I think it's the dance more than anything that just it just annoys me. But Brian Kendrick, the wrestler, in all seriousness, I do agree. I think he is a guy that has busted his ass. He's been with the WWE for a long time. It's good to see they are giving him a push, giving someone different a push, a smaller guy, a guy like Fine Divine here says is not strung out on roids, you know. So it is good to see them giving an opportunity to someone like the Brian Kendrick, but I don't know. I guess, you know, he's got to grow on me a little bit. I just find him a little annoying at first, but, you know, he is a good wrestler, and hopefully he can, you know, continue his success. You know, he's a guy, I think, that does legitimately deserve to have some success because he's put in a lot of effort. And I will say his promo that he cut on SmackDown, which we're going to talk about, of course, later in the show, I actually did like it, but there's one thing about that, and I don't want to spoil it because I got an audio comment coming up here in just a second from the JSN WWF. He sent in an audio comment, and it's something I didn't notice about that promo at first. I mean, so again, like I said, it was a great promo. There's just something going on in the background that makes it completely hilarious, so we'll talk about that in just a second. Thanks for the email. And let's move on to the next one from Greg. Or excuse me, go ahead.
Do you care if I go off on a tangent here, man? That you may, in fact, find totally hilarious, and so are viewers.
Sure, give it a shot.
Okay, so I was listening to this other podcast. I mean, you like to listen to, and they were talking about some good fine Texas cuisine on there, man.
What podcast would this be?
This is MMA Sunday School, dude. So you know how they kind of like to imitate stuff, man.
Yeah.
So they started doing like a big sales pitch for it. They just like, now you just come on down here and get you some. Now we'll treat you right. It's like you get you a chicken fried steak as big as your face.
Okay, I don't know what that has to do with anything, but
come on, that's funny, man. I just remembered that, dude. That had me cracking up last night, dude.
I haven't listened to the new MMA Sunday School, dude. I gotta listen to this. So, yeah, I don't know what that had to do with any of the emails or pro wrestling, but it was funny. So, talking about other podcasts, you know, and give a recommendation to MMA Sunday School, by the way. It's on the SureDog Radio Network. You can go to SureDog.com and download
it. It's not even about MMA, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's called MMA Sunday School. They literally don't talk anything about MMA on the show. I mean, very little, I'll put it that way. It's just like a comedy podcast, basically, and it is hilarious. Scott Holmes and Rodney Dean. It's one of my favorite podcasts now. So, I mean, even if you're not a fan of mixed martial arts, check out MMA Sunday School. Because it's just one of the most hilarious podcasts on the internet for sure. But enough plugging other people. Let's get back to these emails here. This one's from Greg Watson. He says, "My brother and I just started a podcast." Speaking of other podcasts, he says, "My brother and I just started a podcast called Console Fanboy, and it's on iTunes and Blog Talk. I've had a hard time coming up with stuff to talk about, and I just wanted to thank you guys for going for 97 podcasts and still being very interesting. I never knew all the time that it went into making a podcast." Well, that is true. It does take a little bit of time. You know, I think a lot of people, and I'll fully admit, you know, when I first started doing this podcast, I was like, well, this will be easy. You know, you just sit down, you record it and stuff. It was actually, I mean, it's once you get like 90, you know, whatever odd episodes into it, we are 97 here, whatever, you realize that it's, you know, it's something you gotta actually love doing it, because after, you know, a few episodes, you're like, ah, man, do I really want to record this again and all that? So, you know, it's got to be something you're dedicated to doing, and there's been moments where I've wondered, wow, you know, I don't know that I really want to continue to do this or not, but, you know, I just carried on, and finally, you know, after a while, I mean, I realized, you know, I do really enjoy doing the podcast, and I got a lot of people who enjoy listening to it, I think that's the biggest thing. At first, after you do it for a while, and you're not really getting a lot of listeners at first, that's when it's really it's tough because you're wondering, am I just wasting my time? But you know, now I've got pretty good listener base and all that, so it kind of gives you really a lot of motivation to continue doing it. So that's what I would say. So yeah, I'll have to definitely check that out here. Console Fanboy, I'll look that up on iTunes. All this and that. And if you're on Blog Talk Radio, I guess that means you do a live show. So you'll have to let me know when your live show is. Maybe I'll check it out. Speaking of live shows, I think this is a good time to just go ahead and put it in here. I'm thinking about tentatively scheduling the return of the live No Gimmicks Needed this Saturday. That would be Saturday, September 6th. Probably around 3:00 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So yeah, go ahead and look forward to that. So the return of the live No Gimmicks Needed on Blog Talk Radio, probably this weekend. I think back here in Richmond, I'm got everything set up to do it again. So we may see the return this weekend. Keep checking the website though, ProWrestlingPodcast.com. For details on that, if I but I'm pretty much decided I'm going to do it, and if I decide I can't do it for whatever reason, I'll let you know on the website. But live show probably returning this weekend. Greg goes on to say though, on wrestling side of things, SummerSlam is supposed to be the best pay-per-view, and it was horrible in my opinion. I was excited to buy the pay-per-view, and all my buddies were over, so we were disappointed throughout the night. Until Undertaker and Edge, we loved it, and no doubt stole the show. I don't recommend buying the rerun or the DVD for Undertaker and Edge alone. Or wait a minute, he says I don't not recommend buying it. So I guess that means he wouldn't be opposed to recommend buying it. Not exactly sure, but both title matches were awful. Cully can't wrestle, and neither can JBL. Make him lose some weight. Bye, guys. So yeah, we didn't really. Did we talk about SummerSlam, by the way? Have we ever done a podcast about SummerSlam?
I don't know. It's probably, I mean,
Yeah, we did. I know we did
anyway.
because I actually said that while the Undertaker versus Edge match was a really good match, I don't know that I was necessarily blown away by it.
I like that ending though, man.
Well, I actually definitely remember saying I didn't like that cheesy ass ending.
What? What do you mean, dude? Seriously, man, how many wow, I don't even know how to try to describe this.
Okay, here's the thing. Now, I'm not the WWE mark like you are. You just love it when he sets the ring post on fire and calls
Seriously,
down
man.
lightning.
Okay, look, dude. How many times has someone had a power bomb off a ladder so devastating they actually went to hell, man, okay?
All right, there's a choke slam first off, but whatever, I mean, look, I'm not gonna get into one of these discussions with you right now. But thanks for the email, Greg, and we'll definitely check out your podcast. Next email from Dean. Some of these emails are a little bit older. I mean, some of them are talking about, like I said, SummerSlam and whatnot. Anyway, Dean goes on to say, at first, I was glad to see ECW got a scramble match in Unforgiven, since usually ECW isn't important enough to get a big match like this. I was thinking of the Elimination Chamber match that Raw and SmackDown got, and ECW was left out. But I guess that's for the best, since we don't want another December to dismember. However, I just realized that Unforgiven will suck. Do we really want to see the same match 3 times in a row?
Yes, yes.
You do, of course, but Dean says, here is the answer,
Seriously,
no.
when have you ever had this many? Okay, that's 15 main eventers all on one card, man. This could be the biggest night in our industry, man.
All right, easy there, Tony Schiavone. But I'm getting a lot of hate here. Not, I wouldn't say hate, but I'm getting a lot of criticism here for. This is Dean goes on to say, Shane, why don't you like the Brian Kendrick?
Because you're an idiot, man. Everyone loves Brian
apparently,
Kendrick.
the Brian Kendrick is the hottest thing in the industry today, man. I was
Because
hoping.
people like Brian Pillman, and this guy's just like him.
Well, I kind of didn't like flying Brian Pillman, but anyway, so I was hoping he'd
You
win in
like him in the
Unforgiven.
Bengals
Exactly. That was when he was
sides?
WCW lightweight champion. That was when he was awesome. He says, I was hoping he'd win in Unforgiven. Also, I'm still having problems in Ninja Gaiden 2. Well, I still haven't got my Ninja Gaiden 2 to work yet, actually, which I haven't been.
Why have you fucking not sent that back, dude? Did you restart Gamefly or are you just fucking keeping it, man?
Yeah, I need to restart it. Well, here's what they said. So my credit card or whatever, I didn't get it switched over because like the expiration date was run out on it or whatever. And so I was just like, well, I won't. I'll restart it later because here's all they said in their email from Gamefly. They're like, please send these back as soon as possible. They didn't give any kind of deadline on it, so I just haven't
Uh-oh.
got around to sending them back yet, man. So,
The semantics.
yeah, I'm actually going to restart it here pretty soon because I actually do want, now that I've got some money come into a little cash, I actually do want to keep it. But yeah, Ninja Gaiden, I need to get it hooked back up to my computer, hooked back up to the internet. Not my computer, but my stupid Xbox. See if they've ever put a freaking patch that fixes the last patch that totally broke the game. But yeah, I want to finish, hurry up and beat it. I just beat Battlefield Bad Company was what I had been playing before that. So I'm really have nothing to do other than Madden at the moment to play. So I'm wanting to finish Ninja Gaiden 2. But as far as D. Brian Kendrick goes, I kind of already addressed. I don't dislike D. Brian Kendrick. I just find him a little annoying,
Here's the best thing
mostly in the
about it.
dance.
Okay, that's the best thing, man. Okay, why everyone likes that, dude. We decide when you get done, winning a match, and then you just kind of do that dance where the only thing you're doing is just kind of like stepping forward, then stepping back while crossing your legs or something. I mean, that's
Yeah.
okay, everyone likes that.
I guess so. Next, he addressed King Frown here. He says, good plug for No Gimmicks Needed on Smart Wrestling Fan. It just occurred to me that I've been listening to both shows for a year, and I've never plugged No Gimmicks Needed on the Smart Wrestling Fan show. So, Shane, I apologize for that. However, I did plug the show on the old forums once. He says, I know how you feel about a Wiggly World, King Frown. That show has had such a huge positive influence on me, and I recommend it to all of the listeners. So yeah, this is something you were telling me about, Aston, because I do listen to Smart Wrestling Fan, as I've said many times here on the show. I've not got a chance to listen to the latest one yet because of all the, I mean, I really had not had time to do much of anything with school going on, but thanks for the plug, King Frown, definitely. And that's cool, Dean. I mean, I don't necessarily ask for anyone, to go out and plug me on other podcasts and stuff like that. I know some people, some people aren't cool with that. Smart Wrestling Fan's always been very generous about plugging other people's podcasts and stuff, but some people don't like to do it, whatever. So I don't necessarily, ask anyone to do it. But if you want to, I appreciate it, And I certainly appreciate King Frown doing it. And hope, maybe we get some new listeners for it. That's always, I guess, the goal, to get as many listeners as possible. Here's the thing, though. I can imagine here's how it's going to go. So we get Smart Wrestling Fan, some of their listeners come over, listen to this show. But about the point we get to TNA discussion, that's when everyone's just going to tune out because they're like, wow, this Shane guy's a huge TNA mark, and they're just going to delete the podcast. And pretty much see that'd be how it goes, man. They'll be following us up until that point, and then bam, it's over. But actually, speaking of TNA, we're gonna talk about that later. I'm not exactly going to be too defensive of TNA anymore because the show really wasn't that good
And why would you?
up until the end. Though the ending did save it a little bit for me, so we'll talk about Impact later on. As for Wiggly's World, I haven't actually listened to this. I've heard him talk about it a lot. I do listen to Smart Wrestling Fan. I do listen to We Talk Games. I have not listened to a Wiggly World, so I think it's if I'm not mistaken, this is kind of hit that the host of aforementioned Smart Wrestling Fan and the We Talk Games and many other things. Wiggly talking about just his philosophy on life and all kinds of crap. So. And not that it's crap, just all kinds of different topic. And I haven't got a chance to listen to it yet, but I'll definitely probably check that out. Finally, he says, on the biggest news of all, Colin Delaney is back in Chikara. He will be on the early September show, but not as Colin Olsen. So yeah, this is another I don't think we got to talk about this, but Con Delaney being released from ECW, bad for him in that he no longer gets a big payday, but got to say, it should be interesting to see him back in Chikara. Interesting, though, that he's going to keep the Con Delaney name and not going back to Colin Olsen. I wonder what Jimmy Olsen will have to say about that when they reunite on the same show. Finally, the final email is from King Frown, the aforementioned King Frown. He says, "Hey guys, what's up? I went to the SmackDown ECW tapings last night. It was a pretty good time, but a little less than what I expected. The ECW episode that airs this week was actually taped, and the ECW that I saw was taped for next week." That's interesting. The highlight was
Raw was actually taped. It's not going to be live today.
Yeah, it is. I actually seen sort of a mini spoiler for it.
I guess I've seen the same thing. Shawn Michaels injured.
Well, thanks for just blowing it, dude. I didn't want to say anything about it, dude, because this will be up maybe before Raw. Okay, let's not kid myself here. This probably won't be up before Raw, but... yeah, Shawn Michaels getting injured. That was the news. I didn't want to read it, though. Anyway, he says the highlight of the ECW tapings was a 4-on-4 tag match between the biggest heels and faces of the ECW. I won't give any spoilers on the review. Finley was way over the crowd, and so was Matt Hardy. Surprisingly, I believe even more than Jeff Hardy. The highlight of SmackDown was a SummerSlam rematch between Jeff Hardy and MVP. It lasted a while and probably the best match that they've had yet. I definitely agree with that. I like SmackDown personally. We'll talk about it more later. Also, I've seen the debut of a new diva. I'm not sure her name, but she looked attractive, but I don't really. But she didn't really show any great in-ring skills. R-Truth made his debut against Kenny and did some impressive moves, but got beat down a little too much for my liking. After seeing Kenny get in that much offense, his future doesn't look as good as I thought. The crowd was... the crowd had no idea who he was. I'm glad you had my back on this, because after watching it, I definitely agree with that. That's the first thing I said was, wow, the crowd is just not into him at all. He kept his TNA music and... prompts you to say what's
up. You can
up.
Get with was... this, or you can get with that. But you better get with this, because this is where it's at. What's up? What's up?
Yeah, so here's the thing, though. He says, when
dude,
the music...
I love that.
Alright, stop marking out for like 5 seconds.
You don't think I saw fucking dancing around like that when we was
no,
watching
I really
that?
Don't think you were dancing around like R-Truth in front of the TV. See, man, again, this email just went to your head, man. Now you're just, we're going to way overplay it, man. Anyway, he says, when his music prompts, you know how it was like the music will say, what's up, and then all the crowd would be like, what's up? He said, I was the only one around who was saying, what's up.
See, I told you, that guy was into it just like I was.
And everyone looked at me like I was an idiot.
Dude, started, okay, look. I like the way how you rip these vignettes, but how are you ever going to get somebody over that these WWE fans have never seen before, man, okay?
Well, that's the thing. Why are they acting like they didn't have any idea who this guy is? They've only done promos for like 2 months for the guy. I mean, he seriously has had like a glacier level of hype coming into the WWE. I'm surprised, you know, that...
Well, it's not like he's ever wrestled here before and people should know who he is, man.
Well... Well, what's the purpose of all the vignettes if they're not going to teach anybody who this person is?
I don't know.
Anyway, he says, the main event features Triple H and Shelton Benjamin in what was a pretty boring match full of rest holds. When Triple H came out, everyone went crazy for him. But when he came to my side of the ring, I held up the thumbs down really big, pointing it down vigorously, and he looked directly at me with a mean,
I like this guy, dude.
With a mean face and mouthed the words, you suck.
Seriously, dude, this guy's awesome.
Yeah, obviously King Frown's awesome, dude. He's just putting it to the man, dude.
Wait a minute, so I'm acting like he's R-Truth or something, like this guy's never sent an email in before,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, like you're asking, like,
I'm
this
just
guy,
like, this guy's awesome.
This guy here, this King Frown guy, has been emailing for, like, months into the show.
Okay, I'll be honest, I didn't even hear who you said it was from, so...
Well, that's because you're too busy, you know, blown up by R-Truth and dancing around your room, dude, like killings, man. He says, during the match, the crowd was very silent at certain parts, and the rest holds taking place, and I was screaming out, this is boring, Triple H sucks, as loud as I could, and I knew he and all the fans around ringside heard it. I didn't get on TV with my son, I was behind the announcers a little to the side, so the camera didn't shoot my way very much. Sadly, John Morrison didn't even look over to see my son, and Scotty Goldman wasn't on the show. Who was what the other side of my side was for. Man, I gotta tell you, they have blown, speaking of Scotty Goldman, I just want to go off my own tangent here for a second. I think he's got so much potential, you know, Colt Cabana does, and they've blown the guy's, like, introduction, man. I mean, they've just, like, they put him on SmackDown, which is fine, but I would much rather them put him on ECW and give him a proper debut instead of just kind of debuting him as some, like, basically a jobber that they don't really push at all on ECW. It's pretty bad. Anyway, he goes on to say, I had to pay about $75 for my third row ticket, and I think next time I'll just get the cheap seats because I felt a little ripped off. I tell you one thing, and this is just me personally, from being at a couple live events, I've been to two WWE pay-per-views. One time, I was in the lower arena section, probably row about 25 or 30. Still really good seats, I mean, because you could see everything. And then the second time I went to a pay-per-view, I was in, like, the sixth row, kind of behind the announcers. Much preferred the cheaper seats, like in the lower arena, but not on the floor. Because, here's the thing, I'm not the kind of person that just loves to stand up the entire time during a wrestling match, and that's the problem with a lot of these crowds. Everybody stands up, because when you're sitting on the floor like that and everybody's level, unless, you know, the person in front of you is, like, short, you basically can't see shit. So I much prefer actually sitting a little higher up, because for me it makes, actually, if you actually want to watch the show and see everything, I personally like it a lot better, and the tickets are a lot cheaper too. So yeah, that's where I like to sit at personally, and that's, you know, like when I went to, we went to the TNA house show, it was definitely the better seats were actually a little higher up in the arena, because sitting down on the floor, in my opinion, unless you're like first row or something, maybe row 3 wasn't that bad, but if you're like row 10, I think it personally kind of sucks. I'd rather just be sitting higher up where I could actually see a little better. King Frown goes on to say, on a new subject, do you guys have the Hardys DVD? I never realized until the DVD that Jeff Hardy's music is amazing. I mean, I would definitely still listen to it if he wasn't a wrestler. It is really spiritual and inspirational. In his music video on the DVD, some of the lyrics explain how he has laid it all on the line for the fans and how his body is broken from all the matches. I can't even explain it in words, but everyone should really take a listen to it. I was a fan before the DVD, but after the DVD, I realized that Jeff Hardy is one of the greatest people I've ever witnessed in the world. Man, he tears his body up and does all these risks just to entertain us. And if you see and hear the video, you would really feel for him. It made me tear up the first time I heard it. Does anyone out there know where I can get more of the music in, like, free downloads or something? More Jeff, music and free downloads or something.
I believe I can answer this one, man.
What?
Jeff Hardy's the charismatic enigma. Why wouldn't I have this great DVD set to learn more about my favorite WWE superstar, found only at ShopZone.com?
Could you just shill any harder for the WWE superstar? Jeff Hardy puts it on the line every night. No, in all seriousness, no, I do agree. I think Jeff Hardy... I like Jeff Hardy. I've always been a big fan of Jeff Hardy. He does give it all, dude. I mean, he's not the kind of guy that goes out there and mails it in. You know, he puts on good matches as much. Well, I won't say that. He did sort of mail it in a little bit in TNA. TNA Wrestling, he didn't exactly show up to all their shows. But in the WWE, anyway, he's always worked very hard, you know. He's had his demons and stuff, but... hopefully that's all over behind him now, you know,
Will we
because
get the inside story on him and his beloved dog Jack?
I don't know, man. That you don't want to bring that up around Jeff, dude. He's not going to be too happy about that. But yeah, I mean, I think Jeff Hardy's a guy. I don't want to dislike him. I want to like him a whole lot. So I hope he does not give me any reasons to not like him anymore by, like, you know, getting busted for drugs or anything like that. I want him to clean himself up because I'm a big fan of him in the ring. A lot of people just say the guy's just, you know, whatever. He's just a big spot fest and all that. I just think he's fun to watch, man, and I think he tries hard to entertain people.
What was that? Didn't he – remember in TNA when him and Abyss were feuding? Man, remember that great feud, dude?
They actually had a couple pretty good matches, dude.
What was that? Didn't he jump off like a pop machine one time by like, ambushed Abyss or something like that, man?
I think so. Yeah, he did jump off.
Then like they fought like some kind of shitty cafeteria where like Eric Young and fucking Shark Boy was sitting there eating. Then they started like brawling through there.
Maybe. All I remember really about that feud was he did the Swanton off the TNA set through a table. That was pretty badass.
Oh my god, Hardy's in space. Barbecue song. How's that go, man?
Yeah, something like that. I'm a smart wrestling fan. You know, Joe Negron was JR-ing it up, you know, talking about the Hardy Boys on the cover of the WWE Kids magazine and all that kind of stuff.
Where is our subscription to the hottest magazine for ages 12 and under?
I don't know, but it is full of great ideas for getting your kids outside and active during the summer. Speaking of Smart Wrestling Fan, he says, sorry I wrote the long email. Oh yeah, I put you guys over on the SWF show. I haven't listened to it yet, but I wrote in an email where everyone should check out your show, and that you're much better than the sharpshooters who Wiggly puts over all the time. Thanks a lot, guys. Peace. Thanks for that. This is like, you know, I think the third person now, you know, who's mentioned that you put us over on the SWF show. Appreciate that. So I guess that just shows, you know, we got a lot of people listening to Smart Wrestling Fan, and why wouldn't they, really? Because it is probably the best wrestling podcast out there. I mean, I'll fully admit they put a lot more you know, stuff into it than even we do, you know. So, I don't claim that No Gimmicks Needed is the best wrestling podcast, but, you know, I enjoy doing it, and I'm glad a lot of other people do, and I'm glad, you know, people are dropping the name out there on other people's
shows.
We need
that sweet what the fuck segment, man. And it, how's it goes, like, Paper Beats Starship, fucking Rock Beats something else.
I don't know if it goes like that. Paper Beats Starship, I don't remember that line. I don't remember that part of it. The WTF moment brought to you by It Radio. We need sponsors and stuff.
Simple and Son, or whatever it is.
Frank J. Simple and Son, yeah. We need, I mean, like, seriously, they've got, like, the greatest gig ever. I want to be, like, Wiggly. I just want to send me a lot of money, and then I will never skip a week of this podcast. If you want me to never miss another podcast, just send me monies like everyone sends him. I gotta figure it out, you know. I don't know what he's done to build this empire, but, well, I guess I do want to know what he's done. He put a hell of a lot of work into it, you know. That's how he's got Smart Wrestling Fan so successful. You know, it's a damn good show. What can I say, you know? And as for the sharpshooters, I think I listened to them one time. I think it was because Wiggly put them over on Smart Wrestling Fan. I have nothing bad to say about them. I don't regularly listen just because I listen to so many other podcasts that I, you know, just didn't have the time to listen to another wrestling one, but you know, they seem like some pretty, pretty cool guys. They seem pretty enthusiastic and whatever. So I mean, if you think we're better than them, then I certainly appreciate that. I'm definitely glad people love us, but, I couldn't accurately compare ourselves to the sharpshooters. But I will say this, though, speaking of the sharpshooters, because it's the sharpshooters, by the way, just for anyone who's not familiar with them. It seems like if you go to iTunes, right, and you click on No Gimmicks Needed, they have, like, people who also subscribe to this podcast, subscribe to these podcasts or whatever, and Da Sharpshooters is, like, the number one podcast on that list. So apparently, we perhaps maybe have some crossover listeners, and I just, you know, don't know about it or whatever. So,
how you like it? The, or duh?
I'm a big fan of duh. We should just start saying duh a lot more.
Yeah. And then, like, instead of ask, let me ask you something.
Yeah, we need to get more, you know, get more,
Street
I don't know. Yeah, we gotta get more, I don't know what the word would be for it, more slang, I guess. See, we got our own slang. We got the redneck Kentucky slang we like to use. Not as popular as, you know, as the more hip street slang, but, you know, what can you do? You got to stay true to your roots, I suppose. Thanks for that email there, King Frown. And definitely always love hearing from you. And again, thank you for the plug on Smart Wrestling Fan. And if you're a new listener to this podcast and you heard about the plug via King Frown, thanks for checking us out. And hopefully you don't think I'm just a total TNA mark when we start talking about TNA and immediately turn the podcast off and delete it forever. Finally, and again, speaking of TNA, we got an audio comment sent in from the JSN. WWF Jason Jeremiah, his top 10 favorite guys in TNA wrestling, along with some other comments about 5 minutes long. We'll go ahead and play it right now, insert it into the podcast, and let's see what JSN has got to say. They say it ain't where you from, it's where you at. Must have been a nigga who moved, who started all that. Cause I've been around the world and I, yeah, yeah. But I'ma be a Harlem nigga till I die, yeah, yeah. They say it ain't where you from, it's where
What's up, Shane? What's up, Afton? This is the JSN WWF, and I'm bringing you my top 10 TNA wrestlers. But before I get to that, I want to tell you a little bit about the house show that I went to Madison Square Garden a couple weeks ago. For my birthday, you'd be surprised at how many kids there were, how many John Cena fans there were, especially it being in New York City and in Madison Square Garden. Usually you get smart fans that go to the Madison Square Garden shows, but I'm guessing since that it was a house show and it wasn't on TV, that was the reason why a lot of kids got the tickets instead of the adults. Anyway, the most over guy there was John Cena. And the next most over guy was Batista, not CM Punk. There was
a cage match
Cena and JBL. And it was advertised to be Cena versus Batista, so I was pumped to see that match because you don't know who's going to win. And it ended up being a tag match. Batista and John Cena versus Y2J and Kane. But that's before we all found out that John Cena was injured. And I'm not,
Before
you know, ashamed
broken.
To say that I'm glad that John Cena's injured because I'm just tired of him being in the main event spotlight, even with CM Punk being the champion. Anyway, I also wanted to talk about this whole Brian Kendrick, the Brian Kendrick, he's stealing my gimmick, character.
Please God, rip
surprised him. That he's going to be in one of the main events at Unforgiven. The promo on SmackDown, I don't know if you saw it, but I thought it was
pretty awesome, good.
But
here,
if you look closely, his man Zeke in the background is reading a Cat in the Hat book. Now, I was looking on YouTube. I saved it as one of my favorites because of this, and the promo was pretty good too, but he's reading a fucking Cat in the Hat book. Why would they give him a Cat in the Hat book? I have no idea. Anyway,
I went back and confirmed that is in fact true.
10.
Crack me up.
Number 10, Curry Man / Christopher Daniels. By the way, I'm grading this on mic skills in ring wrestling and popularity.
Low for you there?
Now, Kong isn't on this list because
a bit low.
She never cuts a promo. All right. Number 9, Abyss. Number 8, Jay Lethal. Number 7 is a tie between James Storm and Homicide, even though Homicide's promos are pathetic.
He's not really
Booker
had a chance.
Booker T is number 6. Alex Shelley is number 5. Number 4 is your boy, Samoa Joe.
How you lowballing him
Number
like that?
three,
Four, come on.
AJ Styles. Number two, Kurt Angle, which means that number one is Christian Cage. I just think overall Christian Cage is the best wrestler in both companies, not just TNA. I think he plays a very good heel. He plays a good face. In-ring is pretty good also. He is one of the most popular wrestlers. I think if he went to WWE that he would be a big star over there. Hopefully, since his contract is running out, he'll go to WWE and have my dream match versus Edge at WrestleMania. Maybe in a ladder match, maybe in a TLC match. I don't know. I just hope for that. And that's about it. The reason AJ Styles wasn't number one is because he can't cut a fucking promo. He just yells into the microphone.
That is true.
Otherwise, he would have been number one. I just think Kurt Angle is too comical as a heel. I don't know. I just don't like him unless he's in the ring. Not anymore, at least. All right. That's it. Bye.
It ain't where you from, it's where you at. Must have been a nigga that moved and started all that. Cause I've been around the world and but I'm West Coast bitch till I die, It ain't where you from, it's where you at.
Alright, well, thanks for those comments there from
I like how Ice-T's in that song, yet he no-showed him at the pay-per-view, man.
Yeah, I don't recall him being there, man. Maybe I missed him, though. I wasn't looking too hard, but thanks for those comments. I agree, definitely Christian Cage.
Well, I'd have to disagree with this. Number one, Triple H. Number two, Batista. Number three, John Cena.
This is TNA wrestlers, dude. These guys are
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, if these guys were in TNA, it would be in that order.
Oh, okay. I guess so. What'd you think about that, man? I mean, he was personally surprised that John Cena was over. I mean, that should be no surprise to you. Any clue your favorite wrestler, man? Cena and Batista?
Well, dude, he's got a lot of those chain gangs out there, man.
Are you really seriously? Do you throw up the horns, man, a lot?
Yeah.
That's how we need to get that. We were just talking about, like, getting more street cred, man. Maybe we should be like John Cena and
Seriously, and this is
talk
what I
about
like
John
about John
Cena.
Cena. There's always like two or three guys in the crowd that have this spinner US title, dude. Okay, that's over with me. If you have the spinner US
Exactly.
title.
Yeah, I mean, that was a classic championship, man. Actually, when I was at this was a couple years ago, but Cena was already world champion at the time. Went to the Backlash press conference when it was here at Rupp Arena. And yeah, there was some dude repping the Spinner US belt, man. I'm like, dude, I was like, you've clearly got the most superior belt in wrestling today, man.
Yeah.
They need to bring that back. It's all belts should spin, I think. That should be the deal, man. We need more
What's the
spinner
deal with the world
belts.
title now just being fucking solid, dude? That's stupid.
Yeah,
What's the point of having it?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not gonna spin it, you shouldn't win it. It's what I say, man. All right, that was stupid, but I thought it was funny. Anyway, so let's move on to, and get into the second half here of the show by basically running through the week that was in professional wrestling. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. We'll start with Monday Night Raw. Got right into the action on Raw with a decent match. Between CM Punk and JBL non-title action. Like I said, it was just a pretty decent match. They kind of went back and forth. It was about as good as their match at the pay-per-view, I thought. What about the same time, about 12 minutes or whatever. Getting down towards the end, JBL grabs a chair from ringside and tried to bring it to the ring. Ref takes it away from him when
Dude, JBL just doesn't seem like, since he retired and become a commentator and come back, he just doesn't have what he used to have, dude. He's just not,
Well, yeah, he never was great in the ring, but I mean, he's got.
Well, I just mean that people took him seriously back when he's on SmackDown because he was the champion and stuff like that. Here, it seems like he's never actually done anything on Raw, man, yet,
Yeah, well, that is true. His return has been very. I mean, he beat he, in that like pre-taped movie of a match that was their match at whatever that pay-per-view was, the stupid one with the parking lot brawl or whatever the hell they called it. That was the only real big win he's had, I think, pretty much. But anyway, so towards the end, like I said, he's trying to bring the chair in. Ref takes it, that kind of distracts JBL. Punk hits the go to sleep to score the pin. Punk really needs to stop using the go to sleep, dude. This looks like a pile of shit, dude, that go to sleep. It just doesn't look good when you're trying to hit big guys with it like that. I mean, it's one of those, it's just not a good finisher for a guy like CM Punk to be using if he's like a heavyweight wrestler, you know. It wasn't a fantastic match, but hey, I mean, I guess it's better than opening the show with a big talking segment, you know, so. That was alright. Lillian Garcia introduced Mike Adamley, who comes on the stage, and he breaks the heartbreaking news that John Cena has suffered a severely herniated disc in his neck.
Let me ask you this, dude. How deadly is that Batista bomb, man? I mean, seriously, who wants a piece of that?
I think you need to ban it. Like the jackknife.
Well, yeah, okay, I was just going to say that. Other than Kevin Nash's jackknife powerbomb, dude, you know, the move that I've seen that delivered the most violence and force was, you know, probably Goldberg's jackhammer, dude, okay? When he'd hit guys with that, dude, seriously, they were out, man.
What about the FU? Is that not devastating, dude, to you?
Yeah.
How many guys have kicked out?
I don't know. I kind of like the F5, though, man, personally.
Well, Brock is a man beast.
But I thought you were going to throw that old gimmick out that the jackhammer was just for show, dude. It was always that spear before it to really put him out, man.
Seriously, dude, that is the truth. I've always contended that the jackhammer was just for show, that they were really a spear was enough, and the jackhammer was just the icing on the cake. The cherry on top, if you will.
The dumb man!
So Cena's, I mean, what are we going to do in a post-John Cena Raw, dude? I mean, we're going to have to deal with months of John Cena not being here again?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
You know what happens every time John Cena goes away? Randy Orton gets a big title run, so. But now he's hurt, so seriously,
well,
what are they going to do?
He should be back, actually. Randy Orton should be back pretty soon. The thing is, who's the baby faces on Raw now? You got CM Punk. You got Batista. That's about
the Animal!
Is that enough for you, dude, the Animal, man?
Well, I don't know, man. To be honest with you, man, I am a big John Cena fan. But, you know, I think Batista was just that much better, man. Okay?
He was the better man, dude, at SummerSlam,
yeah.
Was he not?
I pretty much see, you know, several months dominance of the Animal being unleashed, man, on Raw.
It could be true. In all seriousness, though, backstage Kane has a camera. He cuts a brief promo. He's back to being the old creepy.
Take your pick, Abyss or Kane promos.
That's like saying, you know, would you rather eat a drink piss or eat a shit sandwich, man, pretty much. So, because I don't really particularly like either one of them, though I would have to say the Kane promo, I mean, alright, depends on if you want the funniest promo, easily Abyss. If you want, I guess, the more serious promo, it was easily Kane, you know. Kane, both guys are trying to be taken seriously, but Abyss's promo was the most unintentionally funny promo ever. We'll talk a little bit more about it in a minute.
See, if someone doesn't watch Impact, they have no idea why I just started going like,
yeah, if you didn't watch Impact, you didn't watch Karen's angle, you missed one of the most funny things ever. Well, like I said, we'll talk about it in a minute. I forgot to mention, though, Adam Lee announced that the replacement for John Cena is going to be he teased that he's going to announce a replacement, I thought. He didn't actually announce it right now, did he?
No, he teased it.
Yeah. So then Kane's talking about Batista, and they're going to have a match, and he's going to hurt him and stuff. Inside Adam Lee's office, Mike apologized to Primo Cologne. Adam Lee said that he has apples and the cabana set up. Primo says that his brother is a jerk, and he's nothing like him. Adam Lee laughed. Primo asked what was so funny. Adam Lee told him he'd find out later in the match. Shawn Michaels walks in. Anyway, he says that Emily told HBK to take as much time off as needed. Michaels went to walk away, and Emily asked him how Rebecca is doing, and it was just sort of an awkward stare from HBK, then he walks away. That was pretty much it there, I guess. So we were going to have a Carlito's brother Primo Colon wrestling, and also we're going to get a Shawn Michaels interview later in the night. Next match, Kelly Kelly taking on Beth Phoenix. Why the hell did Kelly Kelly destroy Beth Phoenix? Seriously. You know, I mean, she actually won this match, man, in like 2 minutes.
What? You was actually on the phone when I was watching this, dude. I was just like, what?
Yeah, so Big Knee, or Boot to the Face, bust Beth Phoenix's nose early in the match. Later on, it was sort of awkward. Santino pulls Beth Phoenix out of the way because she was in the corner, but I guess that distracted Beth or something, allowing Kelly Kelly to get the roll up and score the pin. Post-match, Santino gets beat up by Beth Phoenix. Next, we have the aforementioned Primo Colon taking up. Well, let me comment based on that Kelly Kelly match. I guess they're going to try to build maybe a feud between Kelly, maybe build up as kind of a legitimate wrestler. I don't think she's worth a damn, basically, as a wrestler. I don't know why they've chosen her to be the one they're going to build up. Having her beat Beth Phoenix just makes no sense. I guess they're trying to say it was Santino's fault, you know, that Beth got beat. But
let's get to the good part, though.
What was the good part?
Before she starts beating the hell out of Santino.
Yeah, well, I already said that, actually. I already said that post-match. She beats him up, you know. Would you find that pretty funny?
Yeah, I kind of liked it.
Anyway, next match, Primo Colon taking on, are you a big fan of
Charlito? Let me tell you. No, man. When he came out, I swear to God, I thought that was Primo Colon. Because I really wouldn't listen to Mike Adamly, man. But I thought they were forcing him to dress up like his brother Carlito. And then, okay, be honest, man. If they had told you that was Charlie Haas, you would have known that was Charlie Haas, dude. He looked nothing like Charlie Haas.
He did look very much different, man.
He looked really was that like a fake tan he put on, I guess? Like that wig and that beard. I mean, seriously, dude, there was no way you could tell it was a fucking Charlito or Charlie Haas.
Yeah.
What the fuck is Charlie Haas's, what is his gimmick now?
He's just like some jobber they like to make fun of, the WWE, I think.
So don't they openly make fun of that Vince McMahon thinks he's, oh no, no, never mind. They didn't openly do that. That was...
Yeah, but that he thinks he's boring. He's watching paint dry. Anyway, so Charlie Haas got a lot of offense in, dude. It was actually pretty funny because Haas was like controlling the match, and then the Carlito wig falls off, and then Primo takes that opportunity to pick up the win. Haas went for the backstabber. Primo blocks it, high cross body, 1-2-3. So apparently Charlito was a match for Primo Colon, but not Charlie Haas. So when the wig fell off, it was like, it's kind of like Samson or whatever. He lost his power without his hair. Zero crowd reaction though for Primo. This is a problem with a lot of guys. The WWE are bringing these guys in, and I don't know. They're just, I mean, I guess it takes time, but they are just not getting over right away. Not at all. Look at guys like Ricky Ortiz, Braden Walker, recently R-Truth. God, he didn't get any reaction on SmackDown.
You can get with this, or you can get with that, but you better get with this, because this is where it's at. What's up?
All right, stop marking here. But I can't believe, by the way, they let him use that same music from TNA, man. That's just ridiculous.
I can't believe that... I don't know. I just can't believe how awesome it was when he debuted, man.
He just can't believe seriously, how good of a dancer he is.
Okay, look. We need JR to put over the number of flips he does once he gives you like a clothesline, man, okay?
Yeah, well, he didn't get to do all the flippy floppies that he normally does. Like, he'll do like a forearm shot and have like a 3 back flips out of
Take
it.
Take your
something.
Pick. Brian Kendrick or R-Truth in post and pre-match dancing.
Wow.
Like, ask these questions that probably no one cares about.
Yeah, I gotta go with the truth, though, man. I think the truth can dance. I didn't say he couldn't dance, you know.
Let me ask you this.
Just that little strut thing.
Does this hurt TNA that now that he is on SmackDown, how many viewers does this pull away from TNA in your mind?
About none.
You don't think there was any R-Truth fans in TNA?
Very few, probably. But, you know, I guess it's, you know, time in Hollywood didn't pan out, dude. You know,
what was all those stupid movies he was making?
A Few Good Black Men. I forget what all the other words, stupid ones were, but yeah. Wow, that was a dumb gimmick, wasn't it?
There, it didn't even go anywhere. It was just a way to fucking remind you they still had Ron Killings under contract.
Yeah, instead of just saying the guy's hurt, they're like, he's in Hollywood making these stupid, like, it looked, seriously, dude, it was like porno titles, man. It was like Saving Ryan's Privates, I think, was seriously one of them, dude.
They ripped off that old WWE fucking gimmick with Val Venus.
Well, don't quote me on that. I'm just saying. Anyway, back to Raw here. HBK comes out on stage. Did it really sound like, seriously, dude, it's like he went home and just chain smoked for about 3 weeks, man. His voice was so gravelly, dude. I didn't even sound like Shawn Michaels, man.
Oh. Well, that's how you get when you got a serious condition like that, man. I mean, it's hard to eat and stuff like that, so you get kind of weak and gravelly voice and stuff like that.
Serious condition, his fake eye injury.
That's a life-threatening condition, dude. Okay. Oh yeah, I guess it's real hard to eat when you can only see out of one eye, dude. You can't see half your plate, man.
He doesn't have that depth perception, man. So he can't eat his mouth with the fork, man.
Yeah.
That's stupid. Here's my impression of Shawn Michaels.
Jericho.
Wow, I don't think it was like that.
I swear that's how it was.
That sounds like fucking, wow, I don't even know who the, I don't know, man. Wow, who the fuck sound like that?
Kind of Undertaker. He sounds like the Undertaker. He's like, Jericho, I've come for your soul.
I was thinking somebody else.
It was that low and gravelly, dude. I don't know who else you're
thinking. I don't know. I was, for a second, I was thinking Taskmaster, but then I was like, nah, not really.
Kevin Sullivan and all, no.
Okay.
But anyway, so Jericho's on via Triantron. This is another good promo. I mean, very, very emotional. You know, Jericho says that if they had another match, he would literally kill him, basically, murder him. Michael says that he didn't care. You're a coward.
So, they go okay. Oh, I guess it is a life-threatening, man. If they have another match, he could die, dude. Seriously, Jericho about killed him, man.
Yeah, here's what he says. He says, he wants the match because if I did what I wanted to do to you, Chris Jericho, they'd throw me in jail. However, in the ring, you know, there's no rules, no restrictions, no liabilities.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone responsible for what I'm going to do to you, is what he said. So anyway, they set up the match, and he ends with this great biblical line, dude.
Jericho, I only have one thing in mind.
Dude, that sounds like fucking Shockmaster, dude. That's who that sounds like.
He did sound like the Shockmaster.
Fucking was Ole Anderson in the back on a mic for him, man?
I can't even do it now because I'm laughing.
You ruled the
world long enough, Sid. Is that what he's saying?
Like, yeah. He's like. Oh, he's like.
Jericho.
Damn, Sid, he's ruled the world long enough. Oh, God. Anyway, he said, you know, got one thing in mind, an eye for an eye. That's what I think they were doing, man. I think Shawn Michaels was out there just moving his lips. Ole Anderson was in the back, dude, cutting the promo for him.
That's all he needed was like a fucking glittered up Stormtrooper helmet, man, to be wearing.
Seriously. Speaking of Sid and ruling the world, man, what about those rumors of Sid returning, dude?
I wish.
To the WWE, man.
Seriously, I wish he would.
Now, we've made a total, like, comical shambles out of this promo. But, I mean, all seriousness, you know, it's a pretty intense promo here. As always, continuing in just a series of really great promos from HBK and Chris Jericho. Next, we had Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase finally do that dream match that you've just been waiting months for. Ted DiBiase, Cody Rhodes taking on Jim Duggan and Jerry Lawler.
Didn't I try to contend that this would actually be a pretty entertaining match, man? That, you know, who's more over than Jim Duggan and the King, man?
Everyone. That's like that old Canyon thing. Who's more over? You know, everybody, dude.
Are you going to try that? Seriously, why are you trying to act like no one gives a crap about
Duggan? Actually, the sad thing is, you're right. Jim Duggan and Jerry King Lawler are sadly still more over than guys like R-Truth and Primo Cologne, dude.
Let's see.
Anyway, so, yeah.
I think Duggan looked pretty decent. This is the best I've seen Duggan look in a while, man.
Dude, don't even try to make that sound serious, man. So, yeah, Michael Cole was solo on commentary. He's horrible by himself. In the end, Million Dollar Dream, a leg sweep from Ted DiBiase on Duggan. 1-2-3, Rhodes and DiBiase go over. After the match, the tag team champs cut a promo, said they want to hunt down Crime Time and take their belts back. Said title shots are earned, not stolen. Crime Time's music plays. They're up in one of the luxury boxes. They challenged Rhodes and DiBiase for a tag title match at the pay-per-view. Ted asked why didn't they just go through proper channels. He said they'd get their shot at the pay-per-view, and then he dropped the priceless line. JT mocks him for using that priceless line. He's like, silly white boy, you know, everything has a price or something like that, and then they do the whole money gimmick.
So, money. Money, yeah.
I guess now that money,
yeah.
All right, stop with the marking. I guess now that John Cena is like hurt, they can actually cut a promo again, and they're not just like standing in the background and being his.
CTC.
You know, anyway, going to the back, Batista interviewed by Todd Grisham. He puts over Cena and how he has nothing but respect for him. Didn't that just? Does that just, you know, that's the kind of, he's an animal,
dude,
but he's also
I got a good fantasy matchup for you, man. How about if they let these two big bulls go at it? Big Shag Gaspar, man, and Mike Knox, dude. Those two guys just button heads, man. Wouldn't that be pretty good? And throw Festus in there too, maybe.
No, that's the dumbest thing I've heard all day. Backstage, like I said, Tom Grisham was at the Batista interview. And he asked about Kane, and then he, like I said, he talked about Cena for a little bit, but he doesn't, you know, he said he's not intimidated by Kane and said that their match would be personal because, I guess, you know, stemming back to the fact that he screwed him out of the heavyweight title or whatever by interfering in the match. Next, we have Santino Marella taking on Kofi Kingston, Intercontinental title match. Decent little match, basically some, you know, you know, just a little bit of action to start it off. Bath walks out to the ringside, trips Santino, trips Kofi Kingston, who falls face first onto Santino's knee, and then he gets the win. So, I mean, it wasn't a great match, but I guess, you know, whatever, furthers their little storyline relationship here. After the match, Beth backs, you know, Santino got the pin after that, by the way. Beth backs Santino into the corner, and basically, you know, she kisses him, and he's like, "You're not mad? That's great!" And then they, you know, whatever, celebrate.
Liked it. Loved it.
Yeah.
Want some more of it?
What the fuck was that, dude? Seriously. Anyway, Batista and Kane now going at it in a match here. Well, that's about 15 minutes. I don't know. I wasn't really into the match that much. I was kind of just like, man, I just want to fast forward to the end of this. Because I don't know. I didn't really care. It seemed a little slow.
Well, wait a minute. You wanted to skip by that Kane-Batista match, dude?
Yeah, I kind of did, man. I'm sure you just love seeing these two big animals just brawl all over
I
the place.
Yeah, okay, I do, man. Because Batista is the animal, and Kane's back to that animalistic instincts, man, when he was first there, where all he cared about was just hurting somebody, and pain was pleasure to Kane, man, and he liked it.
Yeah. So the match ends with Kane grabbing a chair. He hits Batista in the knee with it. Post-match, huge brawl with these two men just keep fighting each other. Basically, they both take each other's knees out, and there's a question whether each man will be able to make it to the championship scramble. So that was pretty much it, dude. I thought overall the entire show, pretty uninspired, man. I thought it was a little below average. The main event, again, I wasn't at all really interested in it. It kind of drug on, it seems to me like. The only match I would say that I thought was sort of decent was Punk early on, but it wasn't even that great. So I don't know, 2 out of 5 for me for Raw this week. You care to give your score? I mean, let me guess, you're just going to give every WWE show a 5 out of 5?
Nah, I don't know, man. I mean, I guess maybe a 2, maybe a 3, because, you know, I was more into the two big bulls going at it, man.
You would be.
And why wouldn't I be?
Exactly. ECW, this is actually, I would say, a better show, you know? I think there was a couple good matches on it anyway. So Tiffany comes out on stage first, introduces Tay Long. More bad dancing here from Teddy, man. He's still trying to get down with the kids, man, even though he's like 6
years
old. Wow,
that was some bad. Okay. Brian Kendrick or Teddy Long, take your pick.
Wow, dude. I don't know that I could pick. I would have to go with Teddy just because overall I do find myself a fan of Teddy Long. I think he's one of the best GMs. Can you dig that player? Holla holla.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm starting to like Adam Lee, man.
Mike Adamly does have a certain quality to him that, I don't know, he's not as bad as I imagined him being, I suppose.
Hey, he's finally off the cue cards, man.
Yeah, he finally,
at least
the
visible
one. Yeah, I'm sure, dude, like right behind the camera, there's like a huge billboard-sized teleprompter, man. Anyway, so, yeah, he announces championship scramble and Unforgiven. He says they're going to have some qualifiers. He says, I would get into the rules, but they're way too long and complicated to explain. So just go to WWE.com. Seriously, you have to go do your homework, man, to figure out what the hell's the rules of this championship scramble are.
Lock it.
First match. Good match here. Matt Hardy and John Morrison going one-on-one in a championship scramble match. Matt Hardy picks up the win in about 12 and a half minutes via the Twist of Fate. There's a lot of reversals, like Morrison was going for the Moonlight Drive. Hardy avoids it. Twist of Fate goes over. Good match. Like I said, I really liked it. You know, it was just a great way to start the show off. Anything you want to really say? I mean, other than
was going to hit that flux capacitor.
He didn't do the flux capacitor, man.
Nah, man, don't you remember that old gimmick, dude, where I got confused and I kept calling Morrison's moves like Kaz's moves, man? And then I was just like, man, would it have been awesome if he just got hit with a big flux capacitor? And you were like, dude, what the hell Kaz jumped in there for?
Yeah, exactly. Hit him with the Wave of the Future.
Yeah,
something.
That's what it was, Wave of the Future, man. Not yeah. Flux capacitor.
Anyway, so good match.
Was Kofi Kingston on Raw, dude?
Yeah, I can't... he fought Santino. We just talked about it.
Wow, I can't even remember that.
Yeah, because it wouldn't.
And why would I?
And why would you? So backstage, Teddy talks to Tiffany about Hardy's qualifying, and she's like, "I really like that Matt Hardy." And Teddy's like, "He's one of your favorites, isn't he?" And she's like, "Yeah."
What? Okay, dude.
Anyway,
what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about Tiffany, man? Why does Teddy Long always have to have an assistant, dude? Is that just like his running gimmick?
I guess. I mean, when's he going to marry this one, dude? Seriously. I mean, Tiffany, she brings nothing but eye candy to the show, basically. So here comes Mark Henry, dude, and Tony Atlas. And I gotta say, man, I really like Tony Atlas, dude. He's so bad, he's good, really. So Henry does all the talking, and then every time Henry would finish a sentence, Atlas would be like, "That's right." Henry said he could beat anyone in a one-on-one match, and Scramble isn't fair. Teddy said that up to three championships could change hands in Unforgiven. The only question is, would one of them be yours, player? Then we get to the next match. The Miz taking on Evan Bourne and a Scramble qualifier. Another pretty entertaining match, went about 7 minutes. It was... like I said, it was a pretty decent match. Bourne got a couple of high-flying moves in. Miz, you know, was able to work his offense a little bit. It came down to the end where it was like a big knee in the corner, going for like a top rope move, maybe like a Hurricane Rana or something. I don't know exactly what Bourne was going for. Miz pushes him off, though, and Bourne basically bounces like a basketball off the top rope, because when he trips him, he hits the rope and bounces up in the air, and then Miz hits the reality check for the pin. I was a little surprised, man. I kind of thought the way they're pushing all these young guys, that maybe they would give Bourne the win, you know, and maybe they would, you know, Miz and Morrison would both lose and then have maybe a tag match or something. I mean, who really knows? But anyway, yeah, so the Miz picks up the winner. Are you pissed that the Miz beat Evan Bourne? Afton, that's the question.
Not at all.
Well, I guess
I'll elaborate on it a little bit.
I guess I was expecting a little more of an answer than that, but go ahead.
Fuck.
What?
Oh, never mind. I was trying to do something. I don't know, man. I mean, clearly Evan Bourne's probably, you know, the guy that I like better, but it just kind of makes sense, man. I mean, Evan Bourne's just there. He hasn't really done a lot. You know, technically no one's supposed to know him. You know, that's just how the business works. No one knows this guy was anything in ROH, and, you know, he just beat a couple guys on ECW. So a guy like The Miz, who has been improving a ton lately, should be able to beat him, man, because he's supposed to be something. I mean, he had a long-ass title run with his tag titles. And they've kind of turned him into a serious wrestler, not a joke anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that. Next up, Chavo Guerrero taking on Tommy Dreamer. What do you think about Matt Stryker's commentary? He was putting over, he said he advised children who are looking to get into wrestling to model themselves after Dreamer. He puts over his passion and said the children should work on their physique so they don't have to wear a t-shirt in the ring, man.
Who said that?
That's what Matt Stryker said.
When did he say that? I don't remember that, dude.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, never mind. Okay. I guess he did. Damn you, freaking ProWrestling.net. I didn't remember it either, but I was just reading it here, and he's like, the next sentence that I didn't read was, okay, he didn't really say the part about the t-shirt. So, the rest of it was true. Anyway.
I was just like, wow, he said that on air, man.
That would be funny, dude. I was like, that's why I thought, you know, hey, did you like this comment? Anyway, Dreamer sells the rib injury early, continues to dominate the match. Chavo came back with the dropkick, and he dropkicked Dreamer into Bam Neely, who was standing on the ring apron. Moments later, Chavo hits the frog splash to get the win. Josh, more Democrat National Convention stuff, don't really care. main event, Mike Knox versus Finley. And what do you think about this match? I'll let you go first on this one, Aston. What do you think about this match between Finley and Mike Knox?
I don't know. It was okay, man. I mean, I was almost expecting a little bit more between them, but maybe they'll kind of continue the feud. You know, when they have a feud about Finley being soft and, Knox taking cheap shots at him. I was kind of expecting a more hardcore style match, man, for him to have, and maybe they'll have that in the future. So, since this match really wasn't like that, it was kind of a disappointment, but, it was decent.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it was a little more slow and plodding than I thought. It went about 12 and a half minutes again. But yeah, it just wasn't. I mean, Finley, he has some good matches. Just
fucking hate Hornswoggle, man.
Yeah. Let's see. It came down the end. Finley tries to use Slaley, but Knox kicks him in the gut. It drops the weapon. The referee cleared it from the ring. Finley struck Knox with a second Slaley and scores the pin. Hornswoggle ran around the ring with a few kids after the match, and all that kind of craziness and goofiness of Hornswoggle. So, overall, ECW as a whole, there was a couple good matches. I thought the first two matches were pretty solid. Last two matches, not so much. What score would you give ECW for this week? I'm thinking maybe a 3 out of 5.
Right.
Yeah, we are in agreement then. Alright, let's get into TNA Impact now. Try to move through this as quickly as TNA will allow with their 94 segments.
TNA fail pack, man.
It wasn't the best Impact. That's to say the least. Awesome Kong starting off, taking on a new debuting knockout, Sojourner Bolt.
This person went over with me, dude.
Not really. I'm not sure what to say about her, man. Don't really know anything about her.
Seriously, you want to say who I thought she was, dude, and kind of resemble?
You thought she was Jazz of ECW and WWE fame. I'm pretty sure that was not Jazz, but she was, an African-American, and, she gets a little bit of offense in early, but Khan quickly turns it around and finishes with an awesome bomb. Post-match, it looks like they're going to do, once again, the power bomb onto the chairs. ODB runs out and beats down Kong. This is actually a pretty dumb-looking beatdown because ODB was just, the way she was just clubbing on her and stuff didn't look too realistic, especially when she was punching her in the ass. I mean, the ass punch is a devastating move. It looks like they're going to try to build ODB as a new top baby face in the company now that Gail Kim is gone. Backstage, Jeremy Borash interviews AJ Styles. He plugs that he'll be facing Christian Cage next week in a qualifier for the Four Ways to Glory. And Borash asks, where's Angle's gold medal? He means my gold medal, is what AJ says. And he says it's in good hands. Once again, not a very good promo from AJ, now that he's a face again, he's really, like, when he's not just being a goofy goofball.
Well, here's the thing. His promos, it wasn't like they were great, dude, when he was, a heel. It was just that he was trying to be an idiot, so it kind of fit with him.
Yeah.
Because he
much,
is.
You know,
I mean, let's be honest. This guy ain't, the sharpest tool in the shed, man.
Yeah, I mean, put
the sharpest tool in the shed, dude. Isn't it the sharpest knife in the drawer? Or could it be? I guess it could be tool.
It could be either one, I mean, if your tools were like a big pair of hedge trimmers or something.
Anyway.
Anyway, yeah, so, he's just, I think people are really, they're good at cutting promos when the promos come naturally, when they got a gimmick that really fits them. And I think AJ Styles is just really like a goofy kind of guy, dude. That's why I think his promos when he was acting all goofy came really natural to him. When he's trying to act serious, and he's just not a really serious guy like that, it just comes off as very just fake and not believable, So I think that's his problem, That's why everyone's saying, oh, they're ruining AJ Styles by making him cut these goofy promos. I think his promos were 100 times better when he was acting like a goof than when he's trying to be serious and failing horribly at it. Latest rough cut segment with Consequences Creed. He talks about how he mailed a videotape to TNA via their website. So he received a call from Terry Taylor, told him that the things he could work on, he put that right into You know, he said he really just, they said he soaks up advice like a sponge. Taylor puts over Creed's integrity and charisma. AJ Styles talks about working with Creed in NWA Anarchy and highlights from Anarchy and Bill Burns presenting Creed with the TNA contract on the Anarchy television show. I liked it. Again, I thought it was pretty cool. NWA Anarchy, haven't really watched a lot of that, but I watched its predecessor, NWA Wildside, which is where AJ Styles came from. It's basically the same promotion. They just renamed it. I loved NWA Wildside, you know, so I wish, and they create a lot of good guys in that little territory. I mean, AJ Styles, like I said, was one example. Consequences Creed the next.
I was trying to think of what the Andrew Dragon Wilson would, what was some of the things he would, like, kind of, you know, just, like, go out on, man?
Yeah, they had a guy, the announcer was Dan the Dragon Wilson, and Dave Prazak, whatever, who actually does ROH now.
I kind of meant, he used to say someone's name. Like,
but he'd be like, you know,
God, see,
like,
I can't think.
Everybody, dude, he said everybody's name real big, like Iceberg, he'd be like, the Harbinger of Doom, Iceberg. And, you know, and like Rain Man, he'd be like, the Soul Assassin.
Yeah.
Rain Man, you know, all those guys, he'd play them up real big. I like Dan Dragon Wilson. No,
isn't he freaky now, though, dude?
Yeah, I think he does have some kind of weird, like satanic gimmick now. He's like a manager, not an announcer anymore or something. But yeah, I thought he was a pretty cool announcer, Dan Wilson. No, like, no one knows who the fuck he is, though. No one watched NBA Wildside except for the two of us, man, that listen to this podcast anyway. But you missed out. Like I said, you missed out on some good wrestling, dude. Anyway. Next match, Jay Lethal and Consequences Creed teaming once again. The second time their first team up, they actually beat the Guns. In a match that a lot of people didn't like because of the fact that they, well, beat the fucking Guns and they're just a thrown together team. They beat the team of Petey Williams and Sheik Abdul-Bashir in about 5 minutes. Pretty good little match, solid back and forth action. Bashir bumps into Petey when he was setting up for the Canadian Destroyer. He wasn't his fault, though. He gets like pushed off the top by, I think, Consequences Creed, perhaps. Williams wasn't too happy, and this allows Lethal to roll him up and gets the win. Post-match, Williams and Bashir shoving each other, and they have to be pulled apart. Now, see, at this point, the show's going
okay. How many pull-apart brawls they have in TNA on
a lot.
Weekly basis?
Just all the time. Up until this part, the show's been going okay. Opening match was Kong squashing some new girl. The rough cut wasn't too bad. A decent tag. It really goes into the shitter with this. Abyss is the guest on Karen's angle. He asked if he could make himself more comfortable. He does so by flipping this like coffee table out of the way and then sitting down on the ground. He said the doctors made him realize that Abyss is destructive, but Chris is a good person. Karen is acting very afraid. He starts like touching her leg and stuff. He says he doesn't know what lies ahead for Abyss or Chris, but that they are one person. And he then gets up and gets right over top of Karen, who, again, extremely freaked out. And he's like, what do you look for in a man? And then he starts doing all this, like, stupid, like, stuff. He's like, you look for someone who snarls. Someone who,
seriously,
whispers.
Dude, he ripped off the, like, the old Ultimate Warrior thing, that snarl, man, dude. That was classic.
Yeah.
Why didn't you get the audio, man? Seriously.
Dude, I should have, man. I just didn't get a chance.
Wow, way to make this podcast a piece of trash without doing some hard work here, man.
See, everybody, go to YouTube. Try to find this video somewhere. You will crack up. It is so unintentionally funny, though. And he's like someone who snarls, whispers, or screams. He then mantically begins to read this poem, you know, and anyway, he says that he's like he wants to take her with him, but she couldn't make a sound, blah, blah, blah. He's like something about, I want to give you a gift, and then he's like, roar! As he starts just ripping his hair out and hands her a ball of his old nasty hair, dude. Wow, you know, I just thought it was we were cracking up, dude, because I thought he was clearly him trying to cut like a Mick Foley Mankind style promo, and I just didn't think he really pulled it off well at all. I thought it come off as looking really stupid and cheesy. And why does Karen Angle want this job? Because every week, either somebody's getting in a fight, or she's getting terrorized by, like, Tomko or Abyss or something. I mean, seriously, this Karen's Angle thing, every week is just a big train wreck, man. Anything you want to add about it, Aston?
I mean, yeah, you just basically summed it all up right there, man. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, anyway.
So what do you want her to go back to? They need to either A, have her to confirm the rumors with AJ Styles, or fucking just have her go back with Kurt Angle, man. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I mean, if they want to give Kurt another face run, just put them back together. Or just take her off TV. I mean, why is she even on TV in the first place, really, you know? I mean, do we need every, you know, all these people who are essentially worthless on television anyway? I don't know. Backstage, Angelina Love and Velvet Sky getting ready for their match. They basically cut their typical promo. They got Kip James just, you know, sucking the place up, dude. Why is Kip James still in the company? I don't know. I don't even waste my time talking about it.
And why wouldn't he be?
Yeah, and why wouldn't he? Then we get your boy, Kurt Angle, and Frank Trigg, dude. Have an interview with Jeremy Borash. Angle wants to know where his gold medal is. He takes offense to being referred to as a former gold medalist. He said he wouldn't sleep until he had the gold medal. Trigg kept Angle cool by telling him to focus on the match with Kevin Nash. He said, do you think after 10 years I'm going to leave you like Tomko did to go to Japan to be a shoot fighter, man? That was pretty stupid. Clearly, he's just going there to be a wrestler, not some sort of MMA shoot fighter. But we'll see what Trigg. I wonder what he's got up his sleeve. We're gonna find out. Next up in action, Curry Man taking on Jimmy Rave in a singles match. Curry Man picks up the win in about 2.5 minutes. The Spice Rack for the clean win. Lance Rock comes out. There's a attack on Curry Man.
Super what do you think about Lance Boy. Rock?
He sucks. Super Eric and Shark Boy out to make the
save. I thought you used to like him, man. Is Lance Hoyt?
I kind of
no, wait
a
minute.
While,
this
but,
is when I liked him, man. When he was a big Dallas man.
Yeah, I mean when he was Lance Hoyt, he was an all right wrestler. He can move pretty good for a big man. He never was much on the mic. Now he doesn't really wrestle that good anymore. He's at a stupid gimmick. He got the male tramp stamp. I mean, there's just nothing about the guy I really like anymore. So that's it. Backstage, Jim Cornette announces a match featuring the feud that no one cares about. Prince Justice Brotherhood versus Rock and Raven Faction and Christy Hemme in a 6-man tag match at the pay-per-view. Also, Tracy Brooks is officially named the new law of the TNA Knockouts division.
I like that, dude.
Borash interviews Booker T. Sharmell and Team 3D. Booker is trying to play up some sort of African, like tribal kind of like accent. Now sounds like he's like the king or whatever from that movie. Coming to America or whatever. That's the name of the movie, isn't it? Anyway, he's just got this, like, he's like, Booker T is a great wrestler. He will be the world champion. I can't even do it right, dude. But he's playing it up like, I don't know that I really like it. I liked him when he was acting like you could tell that he was trying to talk real proper, but he also was mixing in kind of his normal, just like normal speech. You know, he'd just be like, "He's like, I'm going to put a beat down on you. You know, let's drink a little some champagne here or something." But then somebody would make him mad and be like, "It's like, what are you doing, sucker?" You know, that's how I kind of liked him. Now, if he's going to act like some sort of really like crazy fake accent, I don't know that I really like that. What exactly went on in this promo? I don't even know what the purpose of this promo was. I forget now.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Backstage, Borash interviews Kevin Nash, who commented on Samoa Joe, and said that he's taking his eye off the ball. He's up chasing Sting in the rafters, and he said there's a chance that he could end up facing him at the pay-per-view and taking the belt. Now, it's like, why are these two guys like at each other's throat again? I don't really know, you know? Because... during the match, you're Kurt Angle versus Kevin Nash, and Kurt Angle picks up the win in a qualifier for the Four Ways to Glory. Match wasn't... I mean, their first match they had was decent. This match, not quite as good. Joe was doing commentary, though, and I think he was doing a really good job on commentary. Angle lost the figure four on Nash. Nash gets out. Angle goes to ringside and gets in front of Joe. Nash follows Angle over. And then... He slaps Joe upside the head and said, keep your eyes on me, bitch. Joe called him a mother effer and leaves the announce table.
What Joe was called, that about? Okay, did you like it?
No, I mean, I don't understand. These guys went from being best friends to now all of a sudden they're like at each other's throats again. It just fucking doesn't make any sense. It's stupid, you know? So Joe climbs on the ring apron. Nash goes for his finisher, anyway, it gets turned into Olympic Slam, and Angle gets the win, and afterwards, you know, he taunts Nash, and, he's like, you know, hey, you're talking about me having a bad temper, practice what you preach, big man, it's kind of what he said. So Joe was good on commentary. The match really wasn't that good, and I just don't understand why Nash and Joe are once again... you know, at each other's throats. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, so...
he's not keeping his eye on the ball, man.
Then here's this guy, dude. I can't say his name now because, you know, could it be him? Could it be this guy with the guitar?
We know who made this famous!
Then they play like a whole video package about Jeff Jarrett, you know. It's actually a pretty decent video package, just kind of a synopsis of... his career in TNA and stuff. Talks about his wife Jill and everything. It's pretty good video package, I guess, for Jeff Jarrett. You know, certainly builds a lot of sympathy for the guy. Backstage, Lauren interviews SoCal Val, who's a very fake looking black eye. And she's so upset with Jay Lethal and Sanjay. And look, this is a great way. This is a great way here to decide who you want to marry. She says, "Let's take this engagement ring, hang it from the top of the building, and we're gonna have a ladder match. And whoever gets the engagement ring gets to marry me." Wow. Actually, he says, "Whoever the winner of the match wins her."
So you know what? This needs to be like that Sandman match. It's like, let's hang it from the ceiling, and then they tell him, he's like, "Okay, we'll just lay it down over here in the corner."
This is a fact, though. I mean, this—if it was on a pole, dude, this would be like the Judy Bagwell on a pole match, man. They had in WCW, dude. This is in fact SoCal Val ladder match, dude. You have to climb up and. And you, if you get the ring, you win SoCal Val.
Yeah.
Angelina Love and Velvet Sky teaming up here. I guess
this match or black collar or black tie brawl and chain.
Well, I think the latter match actually could be good, dude. It's just stupid that they're.
They need to be doing it in tuxedos, though, right?
They need to be doing it like in. I don't know, something. Yeah, you gotta put another gimmick on there somehow. They should, like, have, like, a giant wedding.
They should have had Fight for the Right tournament for her, man.
They should have, like, just the whole wedding set already set up, dude. So as soon as you win, you get to marry. You're on the spot. Anyway, Angelina Love and Velvet Sky in the feature contest. Taking on Roxy Laveau and Taylor... Roxy... It's just Roxy now. And Taylor Wilde. It was kind of a forgettable match, basically. Kip... hands the hairspray into Sky, who sprays it in Roxy's eyes. Love scores the pin. Afterwards, the brown bag treatment to Roxy. Taylor comes in, slaps Kip, but Love and Sky rough her up. They tease that they're going to cut her hair, but Rhino comes out to steal Abyss's gimmick and make the save. And why wouldn't he? So, up until this point, it's been a pretty shitty show, okay? Really nothing that redeeming about the entire show. Then we get, finally, what we've all been waiting for. Sting speaks, and it's actually good. It was not bad at all.
Mom, are you talking about everyone is ripping Sting on the internet, Shane?
Well, I don't care. Look, I'll admit, I'm a huge Sting fan. I've always been a fan of Sting. Anyone who's followed this podcast knows that I love Sting because he was my favorite wrestler as a kid. So there's always, you know, I just always am going to be a fan of Sting, you know. But realistically, the guy hasn't really been doing that much for TNA at all. This promo, though, I legitimately thought it was a good promo. Because he's coming out and he made sense of everything he did. And, he made everyone else almost seem like a fool for not understanding it. How they're trying to act like he was the heel. I mean, he didn't really turn heel with this promo.
Well, is that what you've been saying,
yeah,
dude?
I mean, it was like what I've been saying and what everyone on the internet's always been saying. He just said it himself. He said that basically he looked at what he would be turning this business over, the next generation, and he said it would be a grave mistake because they would just spit in the face of the business.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this. So is AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, and the rest of the faces actually heels in TNA then?
It's one of those storylines, man, where it's like...
Does it make them look like retards?
Who's the heel, who's the face, man? No one really knows here. This is what...
One of those Vince Russo specials?
Yeah. He loves the tweener gimmicks, man. But basically, he says that, it would be a bad mistake to turn it over to, you know, the future over of wrestling over to the guys that are the next generation right now. He says he recalls... Let me just go through this real quick. He recalls Samoa Joe having Booker T beaten, but refuses to pin him. He said Booker is a legend, and the crowd actually pumped for that. He said he came to the ring that night to help Joe. He said Joe flipped him off, and even though he paved the way for him, which is sort of true, said Sting recalls Ric Flair taking him under his wing. Let me finish this. We'll comment on this after this. He says Sting recalls Ric Flair taking him under his wing. He said he respected Flair and everyone that paved the way. And the crowd continues to cheer for this. He said, you know, back in the old days, you know, you had respect for guys when that paved the way for you. Now go ahead. What was you going to say now?
I was going to say, why didn't you actually throw in there the funniest comments? He's like, does Michael Phelps go up and spit Mark Spitz's face?
He doesn't have that yet. He ain't got to that yet.
He hasn't? Yeah. Never mind.
Right, so AJ Styles was the next on Sting's target. He said that he doesn't owe Styles anything because AJ had said, you owe me an explanation. He says he doesn't owe Styles anything because he paved the way for him to become a wrestler. He said AJ should thank him that every time he... writes his mortgage check, and he said, thanks, Sting. He said, most of the young guys in the back are a bunch of spoiled, rotten brats. The crowd again cheers this. One way or another, I'm going to bring respect back to this business, Sting said. He invited anyone who wanted to tell him. They didn't actually have it here in the write-up, but they had exactly what he said, that the same thing happened when you were taking it too far, you know. Let me see here. You were taking it too far. Kurt Angle's Olympic gold medalist, for God's sakes. And he did this, you know, the line that you said where you don't see Michael Phelps spitting in Mark Spitz's face or whatever. Anyway, he said he invites anyone who disagrees with him to come out. AJ, of course, comes out. And he says, you're wrong, you're dead wrong, is what AJ says. AJ said he looked up to Sting and idolized him. I never, ever disrespected you ever, Styles says. AJ said he helped get this company started. And then there were some cheers for that. Sting said, you can't respect someone and call them a coward all in one breath. Sting said Styles took his... here's where he actually says it. He said you took your Styles of hard justice step too far. He said you could have got the pin and walked away. You don't see Michael Phelps spitting in Mark Spitz's face, do you? Sting asked. Sting handed the... Here's where I just put the nail in the coffin for me liking this. Now, I've mentioned numerous times about the legendary Sting-Hogan feud from WCW where Sting would hand someone a bat, turn around, and then see if they would, like, knock him out with it. So Sting says he hands the bat to AJ, turns around, and he invites him to knock him out. He says, "Go ahead, AJ, hit me over the head with it," Sting says. He pointed to the fans in the crowd and says, some of these people want you to do it, man. Styles then spun around and wound up with the bat, but Sting turns around, kicks him in the gut, and lays him out with a Scorpion Death Drop. Then Jeff Jarrett's music plays, and Sting looks around a little bit concerned. Don West, here's what Mike Tenay says. He said, "Don West, you recognize that music just like I do. And it obviously, to me, that Sting is not the only one playing mind games." So, here's the thing, though. I thought this was good. It was a classic gimmick. I mean, it's not anything necessarily original, but it's got the old guys saying the new guys don't have respect and that kind of gimmick. The only difference is I thought AJ really made a good point when he said, "Hey, look, I'm the one that got this company started, you know?" So he's talking about how, you know, he hasn't, you know, Sting was saying he hasn't really earned anything, and Sting said, "You know, I'm the one that busted my ass at the school."
Well, this is how stupid the people in the Impact Zone are, dude. They cheered for Samoa Joe when he ripped the old guys, and now they're cheering for Sting when he rips the young guys, dude. They'll basically cheer for anything, man.
I guess so. So, I mean, it's neither one of those guys is necessarily wrong.
I gotta say is, whose side are you on, man? You're a Joe fan. You're a Sting fan. Where does your allegiances lie?
I don't know. I may have to side with Sting on this. I mean, these young guys do need to learn some damn respect, man.
They don't need to take it that far. Just pin somebody and walk.
Yeah.
Just pin them and go to the back. Okay, we get the point.
Exactly. So, I thought that was actually good, man. I mean, other than that, I mean, Impact was totally forgettable, but. I gotta say, this whole Sting thing, it's got me a little interested. The question is, where's Jeff Jarrett gonna fall into this? Because he is one of the old veterans, man. He kind of falls into the same category as he's not been around quite as long as Sting, but he's been around for a long time now, Jeff Jarrett. But he also, you know, he's one of the people that helped founded TNA, sort of like, you know, AJ. And so I don't know. It'd be interesting to see where he falls in on this. It seems as though he's going to play the antagonist to Sting, but we'll see. Other than that, I give Impact this week a 2 out of 5. Wasn't really a good show, but like I said, I did like the ending to it. The rest of it was, you know, ranged from mediocre to total garbage. Your thoughts on the
show? Yeah, I mean, basically you just summed it up, man.
All right. Finally, SmackDown. Let's run through that before we...
Get with that.
Before we close the show down here, Undertaker starts the show off, and look at this comment here. This is actually a comment you made to me, dude, from Pressing.net, because like she's all nervous about Undertaker being in the ring, and you made the same comment. Couldn't Vicky just suspend the Undertaker again? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And the ring taker noted that Vicky wants him to forgive her all her sins. And he says, giving kind. And he says that he's going to be coming for his soul and all that kind of stuff. He drops down to a knee, and then he somehow causes all the ring posts to burst into flames.
You like the Undertaker using his powers, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, he also has the power, apparently, to cause the door to become locked. Yeah,
and you can't open it.
Cut the phone lines at the same time. La Familia, they duck out the back, leaving Vicky alone in her dressing room, and she can't get the door open, and then, you know, she's just standing there banging on it. Okay, so that's all we see at that time. R-Truth vignette airs, then we get Ron Killings making his debut against Kenny Dykstra, and, you know, again, like I said, I was kind of surprised he came out to his TNA music. I figured they would want to distance him a little bit more from TNA. I thought Dykstra, though, was the star of this match. He comes out, and speaking of, like, similar gimmicks, I thought his gimmick was very similar to the gimmick that Chris Harris, Chris Harris was using in TNA, where he was basically just ripping TNA for underutilizing him. That's what Kenny Dykstra did. He said that he doesn't get any vignettes. He doesn't get any promo time. He says nothing. R-Truth is nothing more than a
did you crack up when he was like, I didn't have any vignettes?
Yeah, dude, it's pretty good, man, actually. And he said that, you know, they need to be building this company around people like me, not you. So he's like,
I'm not a convict, but maybe I should be.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not a convict, but maybe if I was, I'd get a little respect, you know. Dykstra got quite a bit of offense in. You know, I mean, you figure Kellings would just debut and squash somebody, but that wasn't the case. The crowd just was not at all into this at all. I don't know. It was just bad, though, for Killings. He gets the win with the scissors kick, but not really much of a pop at all. Backstage, Maryse interrupts Michelle McCool's photo shoot, and then they just kind of, back and forth taking jabs at each other because I guess they're setting up a title match. Maryse and Natalya defeat Michelle McCool and Maria in 2 minutes 30 seconds. Pretty shitty Divas match. Not much to expect. Maryse DDT'd Maria and scores the pin after the match. McCool and Maryse basically have a cat fight, and they get pulled apart. Backstage, Eve interviews Hardy, who vowed to leave MVP laying flat on his back. With his ego and his attitude, that's it. Ross then tries to explain the rules of the championship scramble, and backstage, Vicky Guerrero panics because her phone doesn't work and throws it against the WWE magazine poster that read Undertaker's Revenge. Now, at this point, look, there's a television camera in the room. Look at the camera, say, hey, somebody come let me out of this fucking room here. I mean, this is stupid. Okay, they're watching her being trapped in her room, and not anyone thought, hey, let's go help her out here? That's dumb. Dumb storyline. Jeff Hardy and MVP have a 20-minute match here, taking each other on. It was a long match, damn good television match. I'm glad to see it ended cleanly, too. So much action here, I can't even really get into all of it. It comes down to Hardy hits the Swanton for the win, cleanly over MVP. Great match. Shelton Benjamin comes out at the end, hits the pay dirt on Hardy, and he also hits the pay dirt on MVP, man. So I thought, great match, really. I mean, do you agree with me on this one, Afton?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and it seems like, what was that thing you were pointing out, that the Hardys always have like 20-minute matches with everyone every week, but they somehow never win them or something like that?
It's just they always have these, anytime they want to have a great match, they'll throw Matt or Jeff Hardy on TV, just if they want to have a good match. Why don't you put the straps on, put a world title on one of these guys, and, let them run with it, dude, because they just have fantastic matches, every time they're in the ring. It's just ridiculous. It's kind of like King Frown saying that he's a huge fan of Jeff Hardy. I just seen the guy, he hardly never has a bad match. He always has his great matches every night. Why not make him world champion, and have great world championship matches all the time? Just doesn't make any sense. Zack Ryder, Curt Hawkins take on Jesse and Festus. This is a no contest after 1 minute. Because the Big Show comes out and squashes everyone. He cuts his promo about how Vicky Guerrero overlooked him. He said, I will never be overlooked again. And, says, my bad. That was just an oversight, me beating everyone up. Then we get the debut of a new diva, Brie Bella, taking on Victoria. I don't know exactly what's going on with this gimmick, but so Brie takes on this on Victoria, and they're fighting and stuff, and then Victoria, in control of the match, they fight to the ringside. Brie ducks under the ring. Victoria reaches under, drags her out, and threw her back into the ring. Brie then, out of nowhere, just rolls her up and gets the win. And Ross questions where she got the energy at to, you know, because he was getting beat up.
I hope this isn't a legitimate gimmick, because that sounds pretty dumb.
And then just somehow she catches some second wind magically after going under the ring. Now, I don't know what the gimmick is exactly, but there is something about whatever she did under the ring, and they're going to make some sort of gimmick out of this. I don't know, did she take like a 5-hour energy drink or something? She have one of those like stack or two energy shots under there or something? I don't know what she did, but apparently that's some kind of gimmick here, so I don't know what that's all about. But she beats Victoria in her debut. Backstage, this is when we get the Brian Kendrick reading the Art of War and stuff, talking about his championship scramble. Cuts a really, really good promo here, I thought. And again, they try to make Zeke act like he's intelligent. They act like, ask him, when was the Art of War written, and he gives the date or whatever. But then that's just totally blown by the fact he's reading the fucking Cat in the Hat, man. So I don't know what he's trying to learn from the Cat in the Hat about, you know, the Art of War, but whatever. I guess he just thought maybe nobody would catch it, that he's just here, we'll just grab any book that we got laying around here, act like you're reading this, and we'll, you know, you'll be too far away from the camera for anyone to notice it. Well, that didn't work. Finally, main event, another about 20-minute match, Triple H and Shelton Benjamin. You know, I thought it was a good match. King Frown said it was a little bit of slow, a little bit of rest holds. I think that's just the way a lot of these matches are, these longer matches on the WWE. I mean, I noticed this in a match, I think it was between Jeff Hardy and Shelton Benjamin, where Shelton Benjamin worked like an arm scissors or something for like 5 minutes straight. There are a lot of rest holds in these matches. Sometimes I do feel like they just throw a lot of rest holds into these matches to artificially elongate them a little bit. That said, I think for TV, it was probably a pretty decent match. I hated the way they ruined the ending, though, by having Kali just come out and attack Triple H. And he didn't attack Triple H right away. He had him, looked like he had him distracted. Shelton was going for the pay dirt. Hunter is able to actually see. The thing is, Hunter can't even put over Shelton by having him be distracted or something. He gets distracted, but he still pedigrees Shelton and picks up the win. Now, post-match, he does get beat down by Kali, but, I mean, what's the point in that? Kali's not in the match at the pay-per-view, so they plan on continuing this feud to the next pay-per-view? I mean, I don't understand what that was all about, but there you have it. That is Friday Night SmackDown. I thought it was a decent show. There's a couple of really good matches. Mainly the, definitely the best match of the week on television, Jeff Hardy and MVP. The main event wasn't too bad either. I'll give it a 3 out of 5, I guess. I would go 4, but I don't know. That may be a little too high. Anything you want to add before we shut the podcast down here about SmackDown or just anything in general, Afton?
Nah, I don't know. I think I've said all about anything I need to say.
Alright, I do agree. I believe I'm all talked out for this podcast here. I do appreciate everyone being patient with us in our little hiatus we went on. Again, this Saturday, we're going to try to be back at you with another live show. And hopefully we'll get back onto a more regular schedule as I get back into the swing of things, as far as school goes and all that kind of stuff. But to plug a couple things real quick, check out ProWrestlingPodcast.com, the official website of this podcast. Hopefully, now that once again, I'll be putting more content up there again, hopefully, shortly. Again, just been really busy, haven't had enough time to even do a podcast, let alone write anything for the website. I think this weekend is actually Unforgiven, so there will be Unforgiven Pick'em. Don't forget to check that out. Get your picks in for Unforgiven. And also check out Afton's website, MMAManUp.com. What's coming up on tap in the MMA world? I believe we need to do a podcast for MMA Man Up here sometime in the next day or so. Jeremy Afton, what's coming up on the MMA docket?
Yeah, I mean, when we do our next podcast, we'll be doing a preview for UFC 88 coming up. A lot of big fights on that card. Rich Franklin at 205. Dan Henderson back at 185. Chuck Liddell, Rashad Evans for maybe a number one contender for the lightweight title. Just, you know, a huge card going down. And I think it's the first card that's going to be in Atlanta in a long time for the UFC.
Yep, that is true. I think that's this Saturday, actually. So expect a new MMA Man Up podcast. Again, that's MMAManUp.com is the website for that. Also, check out Off Topic, too. There'll be podcasts. There's actually two Off Topic podcasts up now. Just my thoughts on kind of random stuff, video games, whatever. Just go to ProWrestlingPodcast.com and click on the Off Topic link on the left-hand side if you're interested in just sort of my thoughts on other non-pro-wrestling-related things. But that will do it for this show. Thank you so much for downloading the podcast. And again, hope to be back at you with the live show on Saturday, I guess, around 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Just go to live.prowrestlingpodcast.com. It'll link you right up to Blog Talk Radio and the live show link. I need to go schedule the live podcast. But again, hopefully we should be doing that this weekend. Stay tuned to prowrestlingpodcast.com for any updates that there may be on that. But again, for Afton, this is Shane. Same thing for downloading, and we will catch you this Saturday.